The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, you're on the bench. What's up, guys? How you doing today? You ready for... Well, it looks like Beaumont's going to catch most of it now.
Yeah, Beaumont seems like they catch it all the time.
Yeah, Beaumont's going to catch it everywhere between. Winnie looks like it's going to catch it, too. You know what's in Winnie?
Not much.
Our tower?
Yeah, I know. We better be prepared for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That's going to be very interesting.
It should be 70-plus mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
Maybe see what the Superior
is supposed to be.
That.
It's more than that. It's going to a 4 now. It'll hit landfall at 3, which is a lot more than 70 mile an hour.
Well, I don't know how far off the coast is Winnie.
It's not that far, not really that far. I mean, far enough that it'll probably decrease by then. By the time it gets there,
supposed to be about 70. I mean, you may have gusts hotter than that, but that's enough to knock stuff down.
Yeah, sustained, that's a category 2.
Sustained. I'm just saying from how far in.
It 70 miles is a category 2.
I'm off of COVID. I'm on hurricanes now.
Yeah, no, right.
So I've done some hurricane research.
Right.
Sustained winds.
How many people have died?
This will not surprise you.
And due to hurricanes.
How about over 100 on the roads last time?
Yeah.
I was shocked by that number. Over 100 people died last time just when we evacuated.
Well, not last time. Harvey was last time.
No, right. I'm just saying just an evacuation, over 100 people died.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I remember how hot that was. That was brutal, the heat wave that we had at that particular time. And I was just lucky enough to have gas that I'd gotten in the car previously because the thought was, oh, my gosh, everyone was panicking. You had no cell phone and no gas. Cell phones wouldn't work and gas. You could forget gas stations.
Yeah, you put a tank of gas in your trunk, right, which is always safe. Didn't you have no, you didn't?
I had water.
Oh, I thought you had people had, filled up a container of gas and put it in their car.
Uh-uh.
You didn't do that?
No.
Because that's always safe.
That would have smelled great.
Yeah. In the trunk.
Yeah, it's still going to permeate.
Yeah.
I've never seen where gas doesn't permeate the smell.
Yeah.
No, I had water and Jeremy Foster
fed
my dog
too.
Water. The water we'd save for humans, he gave it to my dog to drink.
Oh, what?
In the
back
seat.
PETA might
in the back seat in air conditioning.
That there's something wrong with you,
in
pal.
In the back seat in air conditioning. No problem. And I'm like, what are you doing? God. Because guess what else this dog's going to do? Die if we don't make it. So stop.
No, if you died, the dog would eat you.
Just eat off of me.
And then drink the water.
So would Jeremy.
The blood would be enough liquid for Jeremy.
The dog would eat you, and then someone, oh, look, there's a dog in the car, and let the dog out. The dog would be fine.
I swear, from Houston to New Orleans, it's a, it's 5.5 hour drive typically. From Houston to New Orleans, do we catch more hurricanes than anybody in the world? I mean, it's unbelievable. We just are it's a hurricane factory from here to New Orleans. And it seems like Beaumont, Port Arthur area, they get it the worst.
Right in
Lake
middle,
Charles, yeah. I mean, they get it the worst.
They got the whip last
they
time.
They got Rita. Yeah. The one that skirted away from us, hit them direct. Man, it seems like they just get the worst of it. And yeah, Hurricane Harvey was really, really bad for them, just like it was for us. And it's going to be, it looks like it's going to be more of the same for them.
Yep. And Beaumont, if you we're feeling for you, pal. We know that we got a bunch of people out there that are listening, and we're rooting for you. So be safe out there tonight, because it's actually moving pretty quick though. That's the good news, is that it's actually moving pretty quick. It's not like Harvey where it stalls and stalls and stays.
Yeah, we're out of the
stalls
cone completely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but the good news is it's fast moving.
Yeah.
So it'll go through.
Shouldn't be a rain. Right. It shouldn't be a water dropper.
Right, man, right.
It would have been awkward for me to have to decline that invitation after accepting it to stay at the Granados. But thankfully,
I had the foresight to
not do it. So it would have been weird to say, sorry, guys, looks like I can't stay.
Well, listen, we'll watch the Rockets together.
Why would
Maybe
I
we'll
that?
Make some grilled cheese sandwiches after.
Are you going to use Kraft singles?
No. We can get the stores are still open. I can go cheddar. Buy some pepper jack. How would you like some pepper jack?
Thank God the stores
are open
now.
I'm a sharp cheddar guy, but whatever.
It was sharp cheddar. But, see, I'm not a big sharp cheddar guy.
Well, see, clearly. Oh, what do you know? We disagree on something.
Right.
That's surprising.
But I can get you some sharp cheddar.
Nah,
we'll
that's
make
okay.
some grilled cheese sandwiches. We'll have some chips.
I feel like
and then you know maybe we'll watch a movie together or something.
Why would we watch a movie together?
I don't know. We could watch a movie and then we can you know go to bed.
Oh. But I would go home.
No, you can stay at my house.
No, why would I want to stay?
Because so that you don't have to drive through rain tomorrow morning.
No, I already have I have a thing all set up. If I want to stay at the A-Loft, that's already set up for me.
It's already set up?
Yeah, it's not
apparently.
Expensive.
Well, can I stay there? Can I stay there with you?
No.
Just in case?
No, it's a one.
You should stay there. It's a one room. Don't have a ride. I mean, you can just make it quick. Yeah. Just
did you bring your stuff this morning so you could stay there?
No, I'll go home and bring it. We get out here at 11. I got time.
I stayed at the A-Loft one time, and it was it's not bad. It had the strongest water pressure I've ever experienced in a shower in my life. It was like baby water, like baby fire hose. It was
that's great.
And I just thought, this is incredible. Yeah. This is great.
Except that if you wash your hair with that, it'll tear your hair out. But not if you go to Doc Linville. Because those hairs from the side, they always stay. They don't fall out.
I didn't think about getting your hair torn out by a shower.
Yeah, that's what happens. You don't
that
know.
Wasn't what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
So Houston is considered well out of the National Hurricane Center forecast cone. And the Houston Galveston area will escape the worst of what is powerful Hurricane Laura. But it is going to hit directly Beaumont, Port Arthur, southwestern Louisiana.
So we're just going to get winds and some rain. Is that basically it?
Maybe rain.
Wow.
It's not even. Yeah. I mean, it's been the rain chances have been diminishing. So we'll see. So what is the effects of Rita in Houston? The National Weather Service reports. Wait, track of Rita. Hold on a second. Why are they talking about Hurricane Rita?
Because yesterday, whatever site you're on was
right.
comparing the two, and they're
similar.
Oh,
tracks. I got you. Yeah. So what were the effects of Rita?
Both women?
So they said, what are the effects of Rita? The National Weather Service report provided information on wind gusts. Peak gusts just above 60 miles an hour were recorded at Bush, with sustained winds of 45 miles an hour. Most of the region briefly saw gusts of 50. So we're going to see some wind for sure. We're definitely going to see some wind. So I think Houston tonight, we should expect to see some down trees and sporadic widespread power outages. Oh, still could be a heckler. And damages from Rita were $90 million in Harris County, even though it missed us. Still $90 million worth of damages.
Wow.
Oh, most due to food losses during outages.
Oh, okay.
Which is something that we can't afford for the amount of, I mean, that's an issue. The food bank has not been run at a high capacity, so that is actually a big concern right now.
And by the way, if you want to donate to the food bank, text 41444 right now, and you can. It's very easy to do. We've been doing that with the Charlie Epps show. Charlie is now the president of the Spirit. Did you know that?
No.
You know the Spirit tournament up at Whispering Pines?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is an international tournament for young people, and Charlie's now the and they raise a lot of money for the Houston Food Bank, so that's their main charity. So we have been continuing, and if you wanted to donate, because they are behind, way behind. There's a lot of people still to feed during the pandemic, a lot of people, and so if you want to text 41444, you can text any monies that you would like to give. It's very easy to do. I've done it. It's simple. 41444 is the number. So let's go. Let's donate some money to the food bank if you can, because probably there's a good chance that we might have some issues with more food coming up here.
Well, especially if we lose power because of Rita at all. Hopefully hopefully they have generators and things like that to help, but we'll find out. So from a sports standpoint, that's what's going on with Rita. That's the latest. If you're waking up and wanting to know, if you're in the Houston area, it does not look like we're going to be – we may have some impacts, but not the full-scale impact of a hurricane or even on the immediate fringe of the hurricane. However, our listeners to the east, that is something that we'll be thinking about and praying for you and hoping you guys get through that okay, as we will keep an eye on that tomorrow as well, overnight, because it's
supposed to hit overnight. In the sports world, no Rockets, although it was determined that your close friend Russell Westbrook is not going to play in Game 5. This is a 2-2 series. I think we've seen enough in these four games to know the Rockets can beat Oklahoma City without Russell Westbrook. That's not the issue. The question is now, will they beat Oklahoma City without Russell Westbrook? Because the first two games, you know, Game 2, James and Eric Gordon shot horrifically, and they blasted Oklahoma City. James didn't even hit 30 points, and they annihilated Oklahoma City, really controlled them. Game 3 and Game 4, it's been the Rockets not being able to close games in the fourth quarter in Oklahoma City. Who's the best in the league? They've got a lineup that's the best in the league that Dell keeps trying to dismantle.
Yeah, and when it gets dismantled, they play better.
He's trying to dismantle and abolish the best lineup in the league, apparently, in the fourth quarter.
It's the best lineup in this series if the Rockets want to win comfortably. Yes, keep playing Steven Adams and Lou Dort.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
For whatever reason, they do, though. They win games. Isn't it because, in large part because of Chris Paul?
Yeah.
Isn't it in large part because they take decent shots as opposed to throwing crap up?
Gallinari is not a turn. I mean, Gallinari is a smart player. Chris Paul is a smart player. You have two point guards, or you have two guards, league guards, with Chris Paul and also Schroeder. So you have two guys who can handle. You got a big who can handle. I think that plays into
a lot.
Who are the other two? Dell, Steven Adams, and then three?
Nerlens Noel.
What do you mean?
He plays.
No, it can't be Nerlens in that.
You mean that their lineup?
Top lineup.
Well, it's the three guards, Schroeder, Gilgeous, Alexander, and Chris Paul.
Gilgeous, Alexander.
And then Steven Adams and Danilo.
Dort is one, a big part of it.
That lineup, the one without Dort, has been the best lineup in basketball.
The one with Schroeder.
Yeah, into the playoffs. It hasn't been that great against the Rockets in the playoffs, and they've had to go small.
Yeah, that's Dort's out of that lineup, but now that's the lineup that would be the smarter one is to keep Dort in to defend, but pull Adams out, because you can't have two guys who could struggle offensively.
In the second half, Adams should be nothing more than a guy who buys minutes for your players, for your top guys. You want to rest the guy, because that's what they did in the fourth. He played a couple minutes to rest Schroeder, and Schroeder came back in. But if you're the Rockets, applaud Billy Donovan every time he runs Steven Adams out there, because he's helping you.
So what do we think here? There's no Russell Westbrook. Russell looked like, you know, my guess is Russell, if this thing flips 3-2, you will see Russell in Game 6. I think my guess is he's
well,
very
if he's
close.
Ready, you'll see him. And you know what? I think in large part that you saw him in drills. He's just not ready to be Russell Westbrook, though. You can't have an 85% guy that depends so much on his athleticism. You just can't. So as soon as he's ready, he'll be back there. Even if you're up 3-2,
that's what the Kenny and Charles and Shaq were saying. Is Russell's 100% player when he plays? Yeah. He goes at 100 miles an hour. You can't have a guy not ready to go 100 miles an hour because he doesn't have a regulator. Like, he just he can't throttle down.
Well, it was funny, though. After the game the other day, Shaq and Kenny both said, oh, he'll play in Game 5. We saw him work, you know, the workouts before. You know, you saw him going one-on-one with guys. He'll play. And sure enough, he's not playing. And Charles was right. Charles was like, that don't mean nothing, you guys. You got to be ready to go 48 minutes or however, 40 minutes, whatever it's going to be. And you got to, just because you can do drills doesn't mean that you're ready to play. And he's not ready to play yet. And that's a killer for the Rockets, to tell you the truth. We'll see. We'll see. They played better without him. They should be up 3-1 at least right now.
Yep.
3-1, this should be a series. And now it's 2-2, and who knows what's going to happen.
When we come back, we'll tell you about your Houston Astros. They played a doubleheader, some good, some bad. I've got something that's all good right now, and that's TGS Insurance. Text the word. Oh, so a lot of people have been saying, what about flood insurance? And see, this is one of the things that you need to know. With flood insurance, you can't get it the day before a flood comes. You've got to have it. You know, it takes a full month after you sign up for flood insurance. They wait, like, I think it's a full month before you can get it, so that they prevent people from doing this very thing, trying to get flood insurance. And this is not a flood insurance also comes separate from your standard homeowner's insurance. Now, you can get it from the same companies in many cases, but this is another reason why you need to reach out to TGS Insurance right now. They're the ones who can get you flood insurance. They can get you homeowner's insurance. They can get you a combination. Usually what you do is you go through your homeowner's insurance, and then they will get you a rate on that as well as a separate policy. Text the word money to 232323. Just text the word money to 232323, and you are going to get a firm quote on homeowners insurance from an A-rated company. So get a top-rated company giving you a firm quote and get it within seconds. And I mean 15 seconds, and you can find out how much you can be saving and yet still getting the great coverage that you need. Text the word money to 232323 or go to tgsinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I know you were tuned into the RNC last night to Melania, so you might have missed the Astros and Angels. If you saw Game 1, that went well. Game 2, not so much. What with the Astros losing 12-5, a 4-run first for the Angels in Game 2, a 5-run first for the Astros in Game 1, and they cruised to the win. This lineup is average at best right now. It is not something that is, you know, that is going to tear the league up. What with Bregman gone, with Yordan gone, this year 2020 sucks. It really, really sucks, and It's playing out, but with the Astros as well, from the start of the year with the revelation of the cheating and all the way until now with all of the injuries and how this team is just not what we thought. We were talking about it yesterday, a few of us. I think that he's going to blow this up. I really do. I think that Springer's going to be gone. I think that Correa is going to be gone. I think he's going to blow
it
up.
If you're going to do it, you do it in season where there's more leverage for deals. That's a problem. I mean, I guess you could do it before the season started. What you don't do is wait until the next trade deadline, because then you have a very short run-up. And teams, the days of the Randy Johnson deals where you're giving up big prospects like Guillen and
the Greinke deal.
And Garcia. Yeah.
Well, you gave up a lot of prospects for Greinke.
Yeah, you did that too, and he cost a ton. But he's a pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, well, pitchers.
So was Randy Johnson. I mean, point is, this year though, with just a month left in the season,
I would 100% look to deal Greinke. If you could deal Greinke, I would look to deal Greinke 100%. You're not a serious contender this year.
No, let's you're
be
not.
Honest. You split yesterday. A decent showing out of Christian Javier in the first game, and then Belak was terrible for the second game in a row, and the bullpen just melted. Now you threw all the guys who are struggling in there, although Scrub gave up his first earned run, but you got blasted in the second game of that one. But to me, I'm to the point now where I know what the Astros are. They don't have Yordan, they don't have Verlander, Bregman's out. This is not a team that can seriously compete for a world championship. It's not. There's a chance that Verlander may not pitch next year, at least if the injury is serious enough that he has to have a surgery. And that may be done. He may be done. And then you got Zach Greinke, who, you know, is pitching really well, might have more value, might have pretty decent value for you. I just don't. Let's not keep open these false fantasies of a championship contention. It's not there. Do what smart teams would do, which would be unload Zach Greinke and his contract for prospects. See what you could get for him. It's a shortened season. I get that. But it's also going to mean even less money that someone has to take on. So, and Zach Greinke is pitching extremely well. Now, I don't know if he can block any kind of trades, but if not, man, send him on the move and get some players back. I would also consider, I mean, I hate saying this, because what it means is it's breaking up that fun team, and it's like, man, we only got to enjoy it for five or six years, really dating back to 2015. But the fact is, it may be time that you deal George Springer, because you can't afford to let guys go without getting max value. You can't just get a
You can't just get a compensatory draft pick. You need to get max value for these guys.
Unfortunately, Springer's not hitting right now, which is that will persuade a team that I'm not going to give up nearly as much. Secondly, it's only a month. And how much am I going to give up to get a George Springer for a month? What kind of prospects am I going to, and by the way, what kind of prospects do I even have? There are guys in the minor leagues, right? There's no minor leagues right now. You've got a stash of about 20 to 25 players right now down in wherever you are. Astros are in Corpus, wherever your team has a stash of players. Well, you know, what is left? And what kind of prospects are there? And where are you going to put those prospects now this year? The whole thing is so messed up that this is probably the worst year ever to have a George Springer on the trade block. The worst year ever. And for George Springer, it's the worst year ever to become a free agent. With the pandemic, how much, with all the losses in Major League Baseball, are we even, you know, I know that there's been big contracts out there this offseason that have been like, wow, that is unbelievable what Mookie got, unbelievable, other guys that have signed. But there, I don't know that George Springer is going to be ringing the cash register at 31 years old for $100 million. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he couldn't have come out. This can't be worse for him, and it can't be worse for the Astros to try to get something for him. So this is terrible. Now you got Correa again next year, and then after next year, like you said, you might not even have Verlander for next year. You'll have Greinke for one more year, and then what? And then what? You got Javier, I guess, or Keady. You got McCullers.
Yes, or Keady. We hadn't seen him.
No, we don't know. Well,
it's looking, I mean, I don't know. Is Keady even going to make it back? We're 30 in now. Yeah. We're half in. Is there Keady even at a...
Well, hopefully he gets back and can take Belak's place, because Belak looks like he's exhausted all of his goodness.
There has been some, like Javier has been pretty good. Fromber's been very good. I'm not going to talk about Greinke. Zach Greinke has been great,
is Fromber a long term starter?
I mean, he's looking like it this year.
Yeah, not last year he didn't though.
No, last year he didn't, but this year looks substantially better than his first 2 years in the bigs.
Yeah,
Fromber looks. Although his first year he did something. This year his strikeouts to walk have been fixed, and he hasn't been getting pounded out of the park. So if the strikeout to walk stuff is taken care of, that's a different pitcher. He's not putting people on base. He's not going to be giving up those runs. So it looks like Fromber has really, one of the cool things about this is Blake Taylor, Fromber, Kyle Tucker now.
Okay, so you get rid of Correa and you get rid of Springer. You get rid of Verlander, you get rid of Greinke. Those guys won't be a part of it after next year. Do you have enough?
You really feel like Springer's done?
He was supposed to get a I know this for a fact. He thought he was getting a contract this spring, and he didn't. And they didn't give him a contract. Maybe because of the pandemic.
Yeah, I would say you have to at least factor that's potential.
Well, maybe that's why. And they said, you know what, we got to wait. We got to see.
Should you give him a contract? A long-term deal. Should you give him $25 million a year?
Well, what are you doing, though? Here's the question, because you're already paying Altuve big money, you're paying Bregman money, you're going to have Kyle Tucker be coming up. What are you going to do with Yuli? He's done. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with Brantley?
I mean, you want to keep Brantley.
You want to keep Brantley, obviously.
It's not like Yuli's not hitting. I don't know. A two-year deal with Yuli? Yuli's an ageless hitter.
He's at least in
a clutch.
He's a Band-Aid, isn't he? You got Yordan. Yeah. You still got you got a good nucleus, Yordan even cheap. If you don't have Springer and
Kyle
Correa.
Tucker cheap for a while. You got Yordan cheap for a long time. You actually could fade one of those guys, either Correa or Springer, and pay the other one, because you're going to drop a ton of money in Verlander and Greinke. That is a ton of money to carry for those guys, at least their numbers, you know. Greinke, you got helped out a little, but you could end up going with, this is why it's important to find your next batch of pitchers. You know, the Astros have been looking for their next batch. You know, hopefully McCullers is going to be part of that. But this is now we've been saying that since 2015, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully McCullers. This has been a long run for Lance McCullers to be on the, hey, let's see what happens train. That's a long, long run. And you've got, his stuff is great. He just right now has got to be able to fight through the tougher innings. But other than McCullers, I mean, who's your stud? Who's your Roy Oswalt coming up in the minor leagues?
Well, Forrest Whitley.
No, I mean, He couldn't even make a pandemic season with a bunch of nobody's pitching. I don't have he was a nothing last year and had a suspension and was a nothing. And Forrest Whitley is turning into just like pick your Rocket player who was stashed overseas, like Yule, who we kept waiting for years and years. Maybe Yule's coming over from Spain or wherever he was. Like, no, he's not. Sergio Yule's not coming over.
No.
He's not coming over. You just keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And if you've waited this long for Whitley, he's not the guy.
No.
Because if Whitley was a dude, he'd be, oh, he'd have been here 3 years ago. If he was a dude, at least 2 years ago. He's not a dude. He's just not a dude. Or he would be here in the big.
So if you keep Brantley in for a couple of years, which is probably doable. I don't know what kind of contract
you
got
to pay him a little bit though.
Well, yeah, you're gonna have to pay. Obviously, you're gonna have to pay him. If you keep Brantley for a couple of years, you keep Yuli for a couple of years. Kyle Tucker's under team control for two more years after this.
Jordan
is under team control, Bregman, for TV, another year after this.
I mean, there's talent.
Bregman, you've got under team control for, well, you paid him.
You got some hitters though.
Yeah. No.
But you got to build the minor league system. And the best way to do that is by dealing Carlos Correa, is by dealing Zach Greinke. Get some players into the system, and hopefully your scouting department does a good job of isolating him.
Well, that's the question, is does he trust James Click the way he trusted Jeff Luhnow? If he starts, well, he won't be starting all over again. You'll have Jordan, you'll have Bregman, you'll have Altuve, you'll have, we'll see if it's Yuli or Brantley or Springer or whoever else. Does he trust them to build a staff? Does he trust them to build and fill in for Correa, fill in for Springer if he goes? We'll see. I don't know. I don't know that. We'll see if he has the same kind of trust. But Jim Crane ain't afraid of losing. I mean, he lost 100 games for 3 years, and that was just fine. He had a plan. It looks to me like without Verlander and Greinke at the top of your rotation, you already lost Cole. I mean, you want this is close to getting close to starting over, because you're not a championship team right now.
But
you're not close to a championship team.
But if you're stupid, you have to start over. If you're smart, you don't have to start over. Smart teams don't ever start over. They reset their dial. The Astros were dumb under Drayton McClain. They got to that point and they nosedived into the lake. I mean, just they didn't have to if they had been smart about it. You can't let emotions. One of the reasons that Darryl's been able to keep this thing at a 50-win season all the time is because, you know, frankly, he doesn't fall in love with hardly anybody. So anybody can be dealt, and he tries to stay ahead of it by move. And you see the different iterations of the Rockets. Sometimes I forget people like Kenneth Faried were even on the Rockets. They're here for so long, he gets the most out of them. Flip. Now, you know, James has been the constant since 2011. That's a long, but you got to have one of those guys you build around. But the Astros have multiple build-around guys in their lineup, just not pitching staff. But they do in their lineup, so they don't have to restart.
But pitching wins. This is, but again, you can be the Rockets and just get close and not do it.
How do you get pitching?
Or you can go for it like the Astros did, build, and then you got a championship team.
But even when they were building, they didn't build great pitching staff. They had Keuchel come up. They have to get back to building their minor league system with more arms, and that's going to take dealing players.
But Jeff Luhnow knows. He picked up Charlie Morton. He knew something that other people didn't know. He went and got Verlander.
But that model is not going to...
Keuchel was given to him.
He's not here anymore.
No, he's not. I know. That's what I'm saying. Do we trust James Click? I don't know.
No, the smart model's not... But they had to deal guys for these other veterans, and they had to pay a ton. The smart money is on, you know, dealing, getting young pitchers, and going from there. So hopefully they do that. We'll do more of that here in a second. You know, Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC in Angleton. I love the fact that they, on their website, right when you go to LanceZCars.com, you see exactly what their inventory is looking like. It tells you exactly how many cars are in. They got 25 new cars in the other day. They sold one yesterday. They're at 133 vehicles. You can go check out every single vehicle they have. And this is what you're going to find nationwide, is that dealerships are lower on car numbers because there wasn't any production going on for a couple of months. But now they do have that. And Chevy, in their open road sales event, is trying to really blow it out. Up to 15% MSRP cash back on select 2020 Chevy models, including the Blazer, which has been a great vehicle for a long time. 12% off MSRP cashback. You got 15% off MSRP cashback on the Equinox and 15% cashback off MSRP on the 2020 Trax, which is a smaller vehicle, and it's a great starter vehicle as well. Fantastic for that new driver in your family or someone headed off to college. Make sure that you check them out if you're looking to buy a vehicle, because they offer more for trade-in value. And they're also going to go that extra mile when it comes to, taking care of you. So even after the sale's over, if you do everything online, they'll make sure and handle the delivery here in the Houston area right to your doorstep if need be. They go that extra mile. That's the way Craig DeSurf wants it, and that's the way it's going to be. Go to LanceZCars.com. Chevy, find new roads.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We had a no-hitter last night in baseball. Lucas Giolito, the White Sox. The White Sox have 19 no-hitters in their history, which is second. Second to the Dodgers, I guess, have had more. Yeah.
White Sox have 19?
Yeah, that's what I heard this morning. That is crazy. That's a lot. You would 19 out of the White Sox. So he had one last night against the Pirates. The Pirates came in actually pretty hot, but playing well. So, but he got his no-hitter. Nice play by the right fielder to flag down the final out. And Lucas Giolito has himself a no-hitter. So we had that yesterday. The Astros split. Russ won't play today. 5:30 is the game. So we'll see against the team that closes better than any team in basketball. They're what now, 31-15, I guess, in games that are decided by, that are 5-point games in the last, how long? Last quarter or last 5 minutes? Last 5 minutes. So they're 31-15 now, which is the best in basketball, and in large part because they don't throw the ball away, because they don't take silly shots, bad shots, because they play good defense at the end, as opposed to just letting guys run by. And get layups.
They have a healthy version of Chris Paul, the one we fell in love with late in games on the Rockets.
Run. Yeah, but how long does that last?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, it's only the first round of the playoffs.
Well, but they were good. They were good all season.
I know, and he played all season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think he played the most games on their team.
So a healthy Chris Paul. We saw what healthy Chris Paul late in games would do for the Rockets when he was here, and he did that for the Thunder all year.
And again, he got hurt at the end.
No, but if you're talking about why they're so good,
right?
There's the main factor right there. He's played, and that's what he does. He's big late.
It's crazy that they are the best. I mean, like we said, it's just random. They're just a team.
There's nothing special about it. And even that lineup, this is the best lineup in the year. What? Steven Adams is part of a best lineup. Dennis Schroeder is part of a best lineup in basketball. Wait,
I think Dennis Schroeder is underrated as a player.
I think he is when he's not shooting from distance. He has taken some shots where he is shot putting the ball with bad. He's caught up in this is how we play basketball now. But when he goes to the paint, when he's getting to the hole, that guy is a menace. He's a problem because he's so quick and fast. I think he's better off not getting caught up in the hype. I don't even know what he shoots from three, but he just looks like, from a form standpoint, without even knowing what his three-point percentage is right now, he does not look like he needs to be one of those guys playing rocket ball where he shoots 58. There's guys with the Rockets who don't need to be playing rocket ball. We can say that every single year. Like, Daryl, why'd you get this guy to shoot 58 threes in a game, be part of the 58 threes in a game crew? And I don't like the name of that as fantasy football team name.
58 threes
in the game crew.
Well, whatever he's doing, shoot the three, he's keeping them modest because he's gone for 29-30 in the last two.
Yeah.
He shot the ball well from three in this series, but he had a bad game. Well, he's been good off and on, so as far as 3-point shooting. So we'll see how it goes tonight or this afternoon whenever the game starts. But There are a couple of things. Jeff Green, whoever's guarding him, don't play, or Robert Covington, don't play up on him. Make him hit three in a row in your face before you decide, okay, Dennis Schroeder, we're not going to let you shoot threes anymore. Make him prove that he can make that consistently in a game before you allow him to blow by you. Because they could not stay in front of him in the fourth quarter. He got to his spot every time. I don't know if the Rockets as a whole were tired or just mentally they checked out, but they allowed Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder to blow by them consistently.
It was terrible.
It's so bad.
In both losses,
guards got by the Rockets. And look, this is why when people make the Russ excuse, Russ is a terrible defender. Russ doesn't concentrate, doesn't focus, and the effort is really shoddy much of the time. It wouldn't be any different with Russ because his effort level is so poor. That would still be an issue. The offense he brings is what you like. But in terms of getting stops late in games, that's definitely not. Russ really is not into that.
So I'm looking at a story of who's been the best in the playoffs so far. The title is Standout Performers of NBA Playoffs So Far. Luka, obviously, last night notwithstanding, where they got their ass handed to him, 154 to 112 or whatever.
Right.
Whatever that was.
It was a beating, like 71-52 at half, something like that. Paul George we'll talk about Paul George in a second because he admitted something that probably a lot of people in the country are going through yesterday. But, man, the Clippers looked really good. They look like a team that, they had that same look in their eyes that the Lakers had after they lost game one to the Blazers. Like, okay.
Watch this. And LeBron is a standout performer in the playoffs so far. They took on his personality after that first loss. Donovan Mitchell has been outstanding. Can add Jamal Murray now.
Yeah, Murray's in there.
To this because of his last night. And then
Murray had 50 the other day.
And then Dort's defense is considered a standout performer.
Yeah, I think Dort has played well defensively. I think it deserves a mention. I don't know that I put it, everything at the... But yeah, Dort has
been a pain in the ass, that's for sure.
He has. Yeah, he's played well. And it's so rare that people can stick with James one-on-one and limit him getting once he... because James's first two steps are so quick and so long that it's... And then he's so strong once he gets past you is... It's like, what it's like? It's like trying to guard Rob Gronkowski. When I was watching, I saw him get past Schroeder one time in the last game, and I thought, you know what this is like? He's faster than he looks, because he is. He doesn't look like he'd be fast. He takes long strides, which eat up space quickly. And then once he gets by you, by your edge, your shoulder, and you get on his hip, he's just too big and strong for most people to throw off the course of his track to the basket. Like, it's a combination of sneaky speed, physicality, and then he just, from a body type standpoint, it's rare. You just don't see guys like him handle the ball, get past you on the dribble, and it's the same thing with Gronk. Gronk was always faster than a look. He looks like he's, that guy doesn't look fast. And then you see him separating from people in routes, and like, how is Gronkowski getting this open against guys? It doesn't make sense. And then all of a sudden he's down the field, catching deep balls in the seam. And then once you're on top of him, there's nothing you can do because he's too strong for you. James is just like Gronk in his prime. It's just he's faster than you think, and he's just too physical for most people who defend him.
Yep. Well, not for Dort. When Dort is on him,
that's what's rare.
In the series, James Harden is 8 of 34, and he's 6 of 25 from 3. 6 of 25 from 3. That's not good.
I'm checking. Is that 40%?
And Dort has fouled him 8 shooting fouls, which have led to 15 free throw attempts.
Now, that's incredible.
In as much as he's covered him to just have 15 free throw attempts in 4 games.
James is really
good. That is really good.
So one of the things James has gotten into is this, he doesn't do this as much anymore where the hands go flying up trying to get the foul. But what he'll do now is when he's not feeling it mentally, you'll notice that he's pulling up around he doesn't take that extra step to get to the square on the backboard. He's doing it around. He's pulling up a step early where his shot is finishing just inside the dotted line. That's not confident, James.
So we said, you know, James, why don't you drive to the hole more? James, why aren't you finishing at the hole as opposed to passing it off? And somebody said, well, it looks like he doesn't want to get hit. That's not James Harden.
I don't feel like it.
I don't feel like that either, because James is not afraid to hit the ground.
But it doesn't feel like he's imposing his will to the rim.
No.
Which I do think that's something he needs to do against Dort. He needs to force Dort to foul him. Don't throw your arms up. Just create so much contact that they have to call fouls.
Yep.
I'm not saying don't do your arm move, because that's not the move I like. A move that I do like, though, is you going to get your heart checked out. And I'm going to tell you, I had a guy reach out just yesterday on, and I think this is the most important thing that is not going to be discussed by a lot of people that we need to be discussing, and that is heart health. Before COVID, it was something that you really should have been talking about. Before COVID. After COVID, they found that there is a percentage, a scary percentage of people who have had their heart impacted by COVID. And even people who have been asymptomatic are finding they have cases of myocarditis. And what myocarditis can do is it can be a big, big problem if it's untreated. Now, it's completely treatable. You just have to diagnose it. And the way to diagnose it is through echocardiogram. Well, that's thousands of dollars a lot of times. You got to hit your deductible, all that stuff in a hospital. Did you know that now we have a doctor and a company in CoreMed that they are doing echocardiograms inexpensively. I mean, relatively inexpensively, like $200. And you can check out their EKG and their echocardiogram. They have stress tests. You can find out where your heart is. Is your heart enlarged? Does your heart have myocarditis? Is your heart in great shape? They need to be doing this for youth athletes, because we see this happen every year. A tragedy happens with a kid in high school. Start at an earlier age. But for those of you at work, those of you who have suffered from COVID and you want to get it checked out, finding out what's important, you know, what's going on with your heart is just like, you know, your car, your engine having a check engine light. Only with heart, by the time you get that warning, a lot of times it's too late. Get it checked out with my friends at CoreMed Solutions. Go to the website, CoreMedSolutions.com. That's CoreMedSolutions.com. They're right off the Southwest Freeway. And here's the great thing. They can even bring the echocardiogram machine, which sees the heart completely. They can bring it right to your small business or even to your school to check out the athletes. They have a mobile unit, and their doctor is ready to come see you. CoreMedSolutions.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 747 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. What about Messi to Man City?
Yeah, that's a big
deal. He's sick of Barca, huh?
How good is, he's tired of it. I mean, you know, he just wants a change of scenery, I think. The bigger news is James Rodriguez being courted by Everton. But, yeah, the Messi news is...
That's not the big
news. A little bit overrated, a little over the hill. James still young, vibrant player.
What?
Lots of pace.
You know, that's not the news, right? No one is talking about James Rodriguez.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about James being courted by Everton.
No, not really.
And then
there's
old Messi.
No.
Like, whoa, where's Messi going to go? You know,
you mean the multiple time Champions League champion, best player in the world type deal?
Yeah, at one point.
Yeah. His former Barca coach is Pep Guardiola. He's at Man City. And
Pep is so smooth.
They talked about it last week, apparently. And then Messi gave Barca the word that, hey, I don't want to play here anymore. And Barca confirmed that report. So the issue is the out clause to get him away from Barca this season, as opposed to next season, we can walk away for free. Is astronomical.
Yeah.
So you have to try to, not only are his wages, you'd have to pay him astronomical, you'd also have, the transfer fee would be insane. So Man City, who's already had issues with UEFA in terms of their financial issue stuff, trying to figure out a way to get it done. Chelsea might be involved as well. Apparently, they're thinking about it. So if he goes anywhere, it's probably going to be to England. But it would cost them a lot less for him to just play out the year in Barca, but he doesn't want to do that.
Look, I mean, if you're a bald man, Pep is the guy you want to be. The women love Pep.
Mm-hmm. He's got the look, you know. The gray hair and the beard is not random and straight. It's in spots in place. He's got the dark eyebrows set against the bald head. Like, Pep's what you aspire to if you're going to be a bald man. Guardiola. Yeah, Guardiola. You should know this, John. He's probably
he's
one of your
Spanish.
People.
He's not.
Yeah, but
from
kind
it.
Of Italian. Yeah. No, he's Guardiola.
This is Patrick Antonius on the poker tour. That's
what?
Who you want.
Yeah, but he's young.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Pep is like
Patrick
Pep's
Antonius.
Like,
he's a,
that's how you just smooth
he
it
is,
out.
Patrick Antonius is what you want. Dale,
who's your favorite?
To be a
who's your favorite
player?
Handsome bald guy, Dale?
Yeah.
Now do yours, Dale.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman in V for Vendetta. That's my favorite.
That's when I realized, man, this is like a litmus test for true, just unbelievable beauty. You want to talk about somebody, wow, Natalie can go bald head and it
still
looks good. That's crazy. This is bananas.
Yeah. Well, so you prefer Natalie Portman over Patrick Antonius?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I do too.
All right.
Yeah, I do
all too. Right. Well, you like Peppa Pig or whatever his name is.
No, Pep Guardiola.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Nice, smooth. And then he's like, there's two different types of managers in soccer, I've noticed. There's the guy who looks like he is.
Well, there's the guy
model.
That picks his button and smells his
well,
hand.
That's a terrible. Well, that's in the second group I'm going to tell you about.
Okay.
The first group is the, you know, they wear like layers of. They've got a sweater,
yeah, and
a tie,
the
a jacket.
Are,
they've got a scarf.
The pants are tailored.
They may have a hat. They're just coming out there.
Slim cut pants.
Haberdashery is like, yeah. I mean, they know they're being photographed, and they're just constantly giving you looks and just dressed to a T. Then you got the other guys that are frequently will wear tracksuits. Sniffs their own asses as you bring that up.
Or
there's
under
that guy.
Pits or eats their boogers.
Or they're also dressed
that
like.
That dude is gross.
They're dressed like.
Now he's a handsome dude too.
Like Doug Moe used to, you know, like Doug Moe used to be dressed, you know, just like, I guess I have to wear a jacket for this.
But I would imagine that dude, what's his name?
Jurgen. No, that's the Liverpool quote. What's his name? Yergi Lowe or something like that. What's
Yeah. But that would be how I would imagine, you know, the ladies, hey, look at that guy.
He's
and then all of a sudden he's picking his boogers and eating them on the sideline.
He's kind of a tracksuit guy too, though. See, we had...
No, I don't think so. The German national team, those guys...
Oh, no. I'm thinking of the other guy with the...
This guy is...
Who's Liverpool's manager?
Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, right?
If that's the Liverpool manager, yeah. But Yergi Lowe, like Germany, they'll all be dressed the same, but it's not like in team issued gear usually. It's like they're all wearing like a slim cut pants, a nice shirt, but then he's the one guy who'll put his hand in his butt and then smell it.
Yeah. Look, he's got the V-neck, he's got the suit jacket.
He's always smooth.
Yeah.
I don't know why they must
but then he's eating his boogers.
I don't know what that
was.
Because he's always smooth. Yeah, I'm talking about Klopp is the one who is not like, although he's kind of got, you know.
He's got the big fake teeth.
Yeah, he's got
hair.
The big white veneers, but he does have kind of the
well, he's another German guy.
The gruff, handsome European guy look, but he doesn't dress like, he's more tracksuit.
Yeah, he dresses like he's a coach at a AYSO team.
Yeah, I would say that. He's not smooth like we have when Roberto Martinez. I had a smooth manager for a while, but he stunk. Then we got Robert. Then we got Kamen, who is the exact opposite.
All your average Everton.
Like GMs, memories. Okay? So Thomas Dimitrov, I see these guys all the time at Senior Bowl and at Combine. Thomas Dimitrov dresses like he wants to be a high-end Premier League manager or European manager. That's how he dresses. He is dressing a lot like Pep would dress. That Thomas Dimitrov, nobody outdresses Thomas Dimitrov. Then our GM, Bill O'Brien, is going to be more on the tracksuit
side. Belichick,
yeah. Yeah, he's more on the
Well, he's a Belichick guy.
Side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, I like Les Snead. Les Snead tries to dress casual, but he's got that like handsome Les Snead look. Like, hey, what's up? I know you're looking at me, ladies. That's fine. I'm taken. But y'all can look.
Why'd you give that look?
Y'all can check this out.
He's taken.
You look at me. I'm just Les Snead with
just
casual clothes on.
I'm taken, but Ain't nobody ever been hurt by looking.
Look. Yeah. You can look, though.
You can look. You can't touch, but you
can
look.
Shout out to the girls looking. I'm just, you know, looking handsome here. I'm all, look at me dressed down, just kind of be casual. And then we got Bill O'Brien, our GM, Jack Easterby.
Well, and Jack was mentioning in the first, the second sentence of his press conference yesterday, Jack Easterby.
See, what's funny is
he's running the off-season program.
I saw that. Jack has a program that he's doing. I'm like, I stopped reading the transcripts, and I immediately hit Control F. You know what Control F does?
Delete.
It searches a word.
Oh.
I hit Control F, Jack. I wrote Jack. 3. So I just want to know how many times, because that caught my attention too. Like, he's already with
it
this Jack stuff.
It wasn't the second sentence of
his. He's always trying to legitimize Jack Easterby.
Mm-hmm.
So I just immediately check and to see how many Jack Easterbys I could see. Remember that pastor who's in charge of salary cap now and apparently all off-season conditioning programs? So, you know, because, and then supposedly I think Joel Osteen is going to start doing some off-season conditioning and cap stuff for the Titans. We'll see. But, you just you look down there, and there's 3 things where he's got to shout out Jack East. Me and Jack say stick and move. That's our policy now. Stick and move, right, Jackie? Stick and move. We're just sticking and moving. And it's like everything is this Jack Easterby, this buddy comedy that they've got going over there. Like Bill and Jack, Billy and Jackie. Unbelievable.
Well, in the offseason when, you know, when Bill was doing his virtual stuff from his backyard.
Yeah. Jack was there too.
Jack was
by the way.
There. Every he said Jack was there every day.
You couldn't
they
see
would
it.
Take walks where they would go. Maybe he was on one sidewalk and Jack was on the other, and they were screaming across the street at each other stuff. But they would walk every day, and they would and talk. There, I don't think they were.
Listen,
they Jack's weren't not, holding hands.
I truly believe Jack is. I think Jack is sneaky like that. Jack knew from the very beginning.
Well, he hitched his wagon.
You know, there was in New England. I think they got tired of him. And some of his moves, he was going to go to Indianapolis with Josh McDaniels, and that fell apart. He got offered the job with the Texans, and I think once he got here, he realized, you know, I mean, truth be told, this is just my opinion. The Jack Easterby said, "I got to get in good with with Bill O'Brien," and once he saw there was a chance to maybe jump in there, I think Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, my guess is they were highly influential in Brian Gain being gone. They'll say they weren't. They'll say it's all Cal's move. Who's telling Cal, well, Cal did a deep dive. Cal did a deep dive. I was told Cal did a deep dive into the
knowledge
into the
power.
Into the, you know, job that Brian Gain did. Deep dive Cal.
Hmm.
That's something that is that something that makes any sense to you, Cal, doing deep dives?
He's empowered by knowledge. Why wouldn't he do a deep dive?
That's all he cares
and
about
where,
is
and
knowledge.
And the deep dive of how he's doing his job, where did he get the information on how he's doing his job? The guy who actually puts together charts and grading scales, Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby is the one who puts that stuff together. That's why he's brought in. So he's working off of something Jack Easterby gave him. Great. Gee, look at that. Failing grade. What do you know? And then Jack's in with Bill O'Brien. I think Jack Easterby has gotten himself to this position. I think he's a smart guy. You know, people speak fairly highly of his integrity from a standpoint of like people in the league who say they're shocked he's in this position and they wouldn't hire him in this position. But I think there is a belief that Jack is a smart guy, you know, and knows what he's doing in a general sense. So if from that standpoint, I give him all the credit in the world. I think he made a move and made a run at that position so he could get in. And I think he's ingratiated. And I think Bill O'Brien knows that he's a former pastor and he's got to, former part-time pastor or a chaplain, I should say, for the Kansas City Chiefs. People in Kansas City are like, this is the most shocking thing we've ever seen. But they don't talk bad about the person, like, this guy's a snake and he's this. They don't say that. Now, I want to make sure that I put – they don't say that. But I think Jack Easterby wants to do this. I think it's his passion, and I think he made a move. That's honestly what I think happened. And now Bill O'Brien has to really legitimize him by constantly me and Jack. But I also think there's something about – Jack has ingratiated himself, and Bill has really enjoyed it because their personalities couldn't be more different. They could not be more different. And maybe that's something that Bill O'Brien needs. Maybe he really likes the fact that he has somebody who's uplifting and positive because Jack Easterby is an uplifting, positive person.
Right.
Everybody will tell you that.
Well, and,
that's not fake.
And that's the kind of player that Bill O'Brien is looking for now. He loves Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks was with Jack Easterby in New England, and he knew him, and he knew he was a religious kind of guy, and he was a good teammate, and that's what he's looking for, and that's the kind of guys that he's bringing on, and that's what Jack Easterby is identifying,
you know,
for him now.
OB deals with a lot of personal stuff, too. He's got a son that's you know, dealing with a lot of medical issues. I think sometimes maybe having that positivity around you probably helps, because I know that's a big weight on Bill O'Brien's shoulders. It would be for anyone, for any parent. And I think maybe Easterby, maybe that's one of the things that Jack brings, too, is, you know, some positivity, some uplifting. Maybe that's something Bill O'Brien just, it makes him feel good and makes him feel. I don't think it changes the fact that both those guys are a little power hungry. I don't think that changes. You just hope they do a good job, because now everything, the fate of the entire team rests on their shoulders. Not the owner. The owner's, I don't trust that the owner has any power.
Well,
believe it or not.
No.
The owner has no power.
I really think the owner is afraid of the general manager. I want to talk right now. I'm not afraid of paying my bill every month to Champion Energy, because it is awesome. Because I'm not, honestly, it is simple. It can't be better. I paid less for 12 years now that I've been with them. I just love Champion Energy because they have saved me tons and tons of money over the years. Look, if you're looking for that electricity company that is going to be there and going to be cheaper and is going to make sure that their service is second to none, it's all at Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.